Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks, welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. I want to welcome you to the program, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain from our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. What an honor to hang out with you this afternoon. Hope you are staying safe wherever you are. A lot of nasty weather out there today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com, and all sorts of great information for you to see there on the website. Well, look, we are big supporters of the military, and we are also big supporters of the barbecue industry. And when you put those things together, well, you've got a great segment of radio. Right now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, honored to have with us the co-founder and co-owner of Mission Barbecue, Bill Krause. Bill, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Todd. Good afternoon, and thanks.
Well, Bill, first I have to tell you, big fan of Mission Barbecue, and of course, you know, our headquarters here in Memphis, Tennessee, we know a thing or two about the pulled pork and the pig, and you guys do a terrific job.
Hey, I appreciate that, sir. We're proud to be doing what we're doing.
Now, one of the things that you guys do, of course, is you focus on the military, and you look for great opportunities to support our men and women in uniform, our veterans, and of course, those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I want you to tell our listeners what you guys, what your customers have done for a great organization called Wreaths Across America.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. What started out as a very simple story of my best friend and I, with a love that we had for barbecue, but more importantly, a love of our country. We opened our first Mission Barbecue on September 11th of 2011. We did that with some intent in mind that 10 years after the world has changed, we're going to try and change it back. We're going to try and remind people how fortunate we are to live in this great country, because in our estimations, one of the things that makes it the country that it is are our heroes. And our hero, as we define it, is anybody that'll stand on a line and raise their right hand. And whether they do it to support and protect and save us in our communities, or they put on the cloth of our nation, that's not lost on us, that we get this much, much easier job. We get to just feed them and thank them. And part of our mission in serving is we step forward. We give back. Over the 9-plus years in business, we've aligned ourselves with countless fire, police, as well as military nonprofits. And a good example of that is the folks from Wreaths Across America and the amazing work that they do now in over 2,500 cemeteries across this great land by laying a wreath in and around the holidays. And this year, through the continued, even through these difficult times, hard work of our teammates, the incredible support and ongoing that it is from our customers, we raised a little in excess of $360,000 for Wreaths Across America, which now takes our 3-year giving with them a little over $1 million. And when you look at the collective good that we've been able to do as an organization since inception, we've been able to raise about $15 million for different charities. And yet what really energizes, I think, all of us at Mission Barbecue is we feel like we're just getting started in terms of this privilege of serving communities and ultimately doing good.
Yeah, Bill, I just think it's a noble cause, and the money is being used to just do wonderful things all over this country. What was your reaction? I mean, I know you guys, you're surrounded by patriots every single day, but when you see the customers getting on board like this, what does that mean for you as a business owner?
It's beyond humbling. By us continuing to do so well, we're able to do a lot of good. And not unlike those that serve, we realize this work will never be done. And yet I think we're in and up to the challenge. and excited about what we'll be able to continue to do by doing our part in serving, honoring, and thanking these amazing heroes as well as their families.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing. And where can people go? Folks listening right now, if they want to lend a helping hand, where can they go to contribute?
Well, we're so fortunate to now operate 100 locations across 16 states. Primarily focused eastern half of the United States, and yet we're going to soon to start working on the western half. And so any of our locations, give us a call. We'd love to be able to let you know more about our business. And, oh, by the way, as you mentioned at the onset, the food's not bad. Everything that we do is made from scratch. It's homemade. There's family recipes. We don't own a microwave or a freezer. But as I often encourage people, if you ever want to experience Mission Barbecue at its best, it happens every day at 12 noon in all of our locations where we take the time to shut down our kitchens. Everything comes to a halt. We make an announcement. We play the national anthem at noon every day in every Mission Barbecue because we can, because we're free and we're safe. And whenever I hear somebody singing or I see people crying, it just makes us want to continue to build these and have the privilege of serving more communities across our great country.
You know, it was my very first Mission Barbecue. I really didn't know much about what you guys were doing. I'd heard great things about the food. So a buddy of mine said, hey, we got to go to this this barbecue joint in Philadelphia. And, Bill, I got to be honest with you. You know, being a native of Memphis, I normally don't eat barbecue north of the Mason-Dixon line. You know, it's just kind of a thing. And so, but I said, all right, I'm going to go. First of all, the barbecue was amazing, just delicious. The other cool thing was we got there right about noontime, and I had never experienced that before, and it was such a beautiful, moving thing. And you're right, everything stops, and it's just this patriotic moment where you're standing next to strangers, and you're loving America, and that's a pretty special thing you guys do.
Thanks, sir. We've been doing it since our first day in business, and we will forever do that.
Now, Bill, I got a bone to pick with you, though. I was on the map, and you're in Tennessee, you're in Nashville, and Chattanooga, and Murfreesboro. I don't see anything in West Tennessee, Bill. We got to do something about that.
Boy, sir, you've got a lot of barbecue down there, but we'll forever keep that in mind, because one of the things that I know inspires all of us is everywhere we go and every community that we get to serve in, we know that the heroes exist. And there's firemen, and there's policemen, and there's EMS, and there's active duty military, and there's veterans. And we want to continue to build these places where the community can gather and hopefully feel good about the one thing that we'd like to believe that everybody can still agree upon, which is patriotism.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, Bill, we're going to do our part here on this radio program. We love our fighting men and women. We love our veterans. We love barbecue. And we're going to do our part. And I suspect we're going to raise a heck of a lot of money for Wreaths Across America. God bless you, sir.
I appreciate that, sir. Have a great rest of your week.
All right, you do as well. Bill Krause, who is the co-founder and co-owner of Mission Barbecue, and the headline from our interview that Mission Barbecue customers have donated over $362,000 to Wreaths Across America. What a noble cause. We've got links to the barbecue joint there on the live show blog. And I'm curious, if you've been to a Mission Barbecue, I'd like to know what your experience was. You know, for us, they have these big, long, you know, communal tables. You get to sit with people you don't know. There's a great military vibe when you walk into the restaurant, and you just get it's really kind of a slice of America. So if you've been, I'd love to hear your story. 844-747-8868. It's a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Jim, listening to us on WLOB in Maine. Hi, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, I just had a small question. God bless you.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you do. The question I had was, if we lose our power like the poor people down in Texas have, what are we going to do with generators? Because we have to have some way to generate power when the power goes out.
Jim, that's a mighty good question, and it's not just those wind turbines that froze up. What about all the solar panels? I can tell you that here in Memphis, Tennessee, for about 3 or 4 days, we had no sunshine, and those solar panels were all covered up. It's a big problem, but they don't want to talk about those kinds of things. That's just those are the details, Jim.
Well, that's it. And when he shut down the oil lines coming down from up north,
the Keystone Pipeline,
he killed a bunch of jobs, and it just messed up everything, a bunch of jobs and livelihoods.
Jim, you know what it's going to be in a few years. We're going to be like the Flintstones, you know, having to drive around in foot-pedaled cars.
I'm getting for that now.
I hear you. Jim, it's a good question you raise. All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening to us. But Jim's got a good point. I mean, the generators, they run on fossil fuels. What are you going to do about that? Unbelievable. Oh, here we go. This story, Grace Baker just sent this over. The headline from the Daily Wire, it looks like now the cancel culture mob's going after Shakespeare. Bill Shakespeare facing big trouble. They say that William Shakespeare is accused of promoting misogyny, racism, and more. The New York Post reports that a number of English literature teachers have told the School Library Journal they would no longer be teaching plays such as Hamlet, Macbeth, or Romeo and Juliet. The teachers added they would instead make room for modern, diverse, and inclusive voices. Ayanna Thompson is an English professor at Arizona State University. She says that Shakespeare was a tool used to civilize black and brown people in England's empire. Wait, what? Where is this coming from? Jeffrey Austin, who leads the English literature department at a Michigan high school, told the outlet that teachers need to challenge the whiteness that leads to claims that Shakespeare's works are universal. One former teacher from Washington State, Claire Brunke, said that she stopped teaching Shakespeare to stray from centering the narrative of white, cisgender, heterosexual men. Okay, let's see if we can't understand what this is really all about. You see, Romeo and Juliet, the problem they have with Romeo and Juliet, it's a heterosexual relationship, right? I mean, that's the problem here. That's what cisgender is all about. That's the new fancy word they use for straight people. So Romeo and Juliet are out because they're heterosexual. So if you had Romeo shacking up with one of the dudes, then that would be okay. Is it Mercutio? Is that one of the dudes? Mercutio? I'm Grace Baker. Turn your microphone on. I'm trying to remember my Shakespeare.
Oh, no.
I really, to be honest, I wasn't that big of a fan, but we got to defend the guy. I mean, he's dead and he's white. You know, we feel somebody's got to stand up for the guy.
Poor guy.
So I'm saying here that Romeo and Juliet, the big problem here is that they're heterosexual.
Ooh.
So is it Mercutio? I'm trying to figure out who Romeo, some of the other male characters in the, all right, Kyle, the board op is saying yes. So if Romeo was shacking up with a dude and,
no. Don't ruin this story.
I'm just telling you, then Macbeth and all the other, look, I get it.
Hamlet,
it's a problem. It's a problem. So what are you going to do? I'm telling you, there is an effort underway to completely erase anything done by Caucasians.
Homeschool your kids, people.
Remember, and so people are terrified to talk about this, Grace. Terrified. But, you know, we kind of like live on the edge here
on
this program. But if you remember a couple of, a couple of months ago, I believe it was the curator of the of a museum in San Francisco, and he was a white guy, more than likely far leftist, because they're all lefties in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But for the point of this story, they're going after everybody, and it's not about politics. It really is about skin color. That's what this is really all about. And that guy, they were demanding that he remove all of these beautiful paintings because the people who created the paintings were white.
What?
And they said there were too many white artists, and he refused to do that, which I say good for him. But they're coming after everybody.
Like I said earlier, no one's safe.
No one is safe, not even William Shakespeare. Thank you, Grace Baker. I really don't know. I'm not a big fan of Shakespeare. So it is what it is. Brunke goes on to say, eliminating Shakespeare was a step I could easily take towards that. Talking about moving away from the cisgender community. While some teachers said they would stop teaching the Bard outright, others said they would continue to include his works in their lesson plans, but reframe them through modern woke sensibilities. For example, Sarah Gross, an English teacher at New Jersey's High School for Technology, said she would include a side of toxic masculinity analysis when discussing Romeo and Juliet. it just keeps getting better. Librarian Amanda McGregor praised Shakespeare's masterful wordplay, creative use of language, biting wit, and puns, yet insisted his works were full of problematic, outdated ideas with plenty of misogyny, racism, homophobia, classism, anti-Semitism, among others. Years ago, Yale University worked to decolonize its English department, in part by removing Shakespeare from several of its undergraduate classes. So I wanted you to understand this. We are moving to a point in history where children will no longer know who William Shakespeare is. This is where we are right now in America. And you can sit by and you can hide under your desk and you can privately weep about all of this, or you can get up and you can confront the system and confront the culture. It's a very simple thing here. There's not much wiggle room. This is clearly a war on any artist, any author, any musician who is white. I don't have a problem admitting that's what the issue is really all about. This is not about politics. This is about skin color. This is about payback. All right, we're going to take some of your calls here on this coming up. But first, we've got our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs, chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, on the line. We're going to get to him in just a moment. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarns.com. We'll put a link to that Daily Wire story about William Shakespeare. Jeez-a-loo. We'll be right back. You know, going back and looking at the surveys that came out from Morning Consult and Politico, the massive numbers of Republicans who either want to start a third party or believe that Donald Trump should play a major role in reshaping the Republican Party, it's extraordinary. And yet you have these establishment Republicans who are threatening to bolt. You have people like Mitch McConnell who are out there, and quite frankly, it looks like he's trying to sabotage the midterm elections with this language and anti-Trump rhetoric. And then you have Evan McMullen out there, who is a leader of these radical rhinos, saying that A group of Republicans will primary Trump allies like Congressman Paul Gosar and Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is one of those gentlemen, our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Todd, good to be with you as always.
So, Evan McMullen, apparently not a big fan of yours.
Well, the feeling's mutual, no doubt. Look, I don't think that we're concerned. First of all, that we're redistricting. Second of all, I firmly believe this, that the policies of President Trump, Lindsey Graham even said this last week, the policies of Donald Trump are the policies that Republicans embrace. And surprisingly enough, there are a lot of people that appreciate his style, because what he was trying to do is he was fighting to take down the swamp and advance these policies with, like nobody had done in perhaps my lifetime. So, you know, if you got to do it, bring it on. But we'll go forward. We'll go forward doing the things that we do, which is telling people what we're going to do and then trying to execute on those plans.
Congressman, I'm curious to get your reaction when you heard what Mitch McConnell said after the conviction failed in the Senate, where he basically said, you know, the president could be brought up on criminal charges.
Well, I mean, it gets back to why would he say that sort of thing? It's because he's going to go back to the status quo ante. In other words, he wants to get back to the uniparty structure, perhaps, that existed before President Trump came in. Why did the Democrats go forward, and why are these rhino types that you've identified as rhino types, with the people who don't really adhere to the Republican Party platform, don't really understand that that's where I believe most Americans are, the center-right part of this country, are. They're in the Trump policies. They're not in this neocon strategy of Liz Cheney. They're not in the status quo ante, which is the uniparty, which is the swamp that President Trump was trying to drain. They're not there. Most Americans do not want to go back to that. Not even the Democrats want to go back to that. In fact, the Democrats want to go back to want to create a single party system. So when I hear Mitch McConnell say that, I just think, well, he's not really in touch with the Republican base, that's for sure.
Where do you see the Republican Party going moving forward, Congressman? There's been a lot of speculation that President Trump will either be out on the campaign trail or he may run himself in 2024. What sort of a role do you think the president ought to play in the party?
Well, I mean, his presence is going to be outside. I mean, it's going to be very dominant in the Republican Party, and that won't be pleasing to people like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or Mitch McConnell or Jamie Herrera Butler. That won't be pleasing to them. What it'll be pleasing to is the base and the people who had jobs in these demographic groups that had been ignored by the Democrats and in the uniparty for so long. I think that the policies that he put in place, you know, I mean, I disagreed with some of the spending levels, et cetera, and that was a big problem. But you know what? Getting us out of eternal wars, being tough on China. You see what's happening right now with China and its rattling of sabers in the Formosa Straits. You see what's going on in foreign policy because of weakness already in the Biden administration. You see what's going on the southern border, the immigration coming through. You see what's going on. He's canceling jobs. You see what's going on when you rely too much on green energy instead of relying on making America energy independent. And that is going to be those types of policies, the strong military, all those things that are going to come forward and stay there. They're going to stay there because that's what the American people want.
It was fascinating. A few moments ago during the White House press briefing, Jen Psaki was asked about when the president's going to meet with world leaders in person. And she said, well, it may be a couple of more months down the road. I mean, this is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Our stream is.
Oh, I think we lost the congressman there. You know what? We will try to reconnect, but I think we got the gist of that. Congressman Andy Biggs on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Sorry about that, folks. You know how it goes with these phone lines. All right, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. John in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd. Look, I first want to get out kudos and prayers for Rush Limbaugh, and I'm so glad we have somebody that can pick up the mantle, and that be yourself.
You're so very kind.
Mr. Bill at Mission Barbecue talked about taking the oath of office, and I think what he's doing, and all the patriots, the real patriots, is great. The only problem we have, our Congress, the House, and the Senate, about 90% of all those people apparently think the oath is a joke, and it seems like everywhere we turn, they want to take our rights, freedom of speech. Gun rights, and it's becoming how do we fight this? I'm trying to look for answers to fight it. I'm an older gentleman, and I've got children, and I don't want to see my children's rights taken away. So I don't know. That's all I have of those comments, but.
John, those are some great questions, and I want to say thank you for those kind words. We're huge Rush Limbaugh fans on this program, and we make no secret about that. To answer your question, we're just going to have to get involved politically, and that means at the local level. We talked about this yesterday, getting involved in your local Republican Party and making sure that at the base of the party that the values that you believe in are represented. And the other part about that is supporting programs like this one, the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We stand up and we are your voice. We are a method to get news and information out there to the masses, and they cannot censor us. They cannot silence our voice because we own our own radio program. We own our own radio station and our web properties. So we're not going to let people take that away from us. And that's, you know, that's, again, a couple of things that you can do, John, and the rest of the folks listening, to make sure that we do have a way to communicate in the weeks and the months and the years going forward. By the way, this just coming in, the Biden administration says that they are looking to shut down Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. So, wow. I'm surprised by this, only because I thought that's where they were going to put all of us conservatives. You know, they talk about rounding all of us up. That's where I figured we'd be spending our waning years, our twilight years, but apparently not. So we'll keep you posted there. Hey, folks, we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
Oh, you know, we got a message over the interwebs just a little while ago, and someone said that, Todd, how dare you bring up this issue of white racism, racism against white people? There's no such thing that white people are not being targeted. What's wrong with you? All right. You know, I'm going to answer that question in just a moment. But it reminds me of what happened when my last book came out, Culture Jihad, and I had all these conservatives. Oh, yeah, this guy who sent me the email is a conservative, or that's what he says. And all these conservatives were like, Stearns, how dare you? You're just stirring stuff up with your book, Culture Jihad, with the Capitol building in flames. What's wrong with you? Well, it turned out that I was right on the money, and I'm not a prophet. I don't believe in prophesying. That's not what I do. But I do read the culture, and I do have a pretty good grasp on where the culture is going. And it didn't take a lot to figure out when you put all of the book together that what happened on January the 6th did not just happen spontaneously. There was something else there. Trying to tell everybody. And again, I think that in a couple of years from now, people are going to say, geez, Lou, when did it become a crime to be a white person in America? And we will point back to a time like this. This story from the Gateway Pundit. Here's the headline. New York City principal sends home white identity list to parents to convert them to the white traitors' stage of whiteness. This is bonkers. And, you know, I used to ask myself, well, why aren't we teaching the kids important things like reading and math? Well, now we know that's racist, too. So that's why they're not teaching the kids. That's why we're graduating stupid people. I hate to say it, but America's turning into a stupid country because we're not educating the kids. We're teaching them to be like perpetual victims, and that victims that can't make change. It's very sad. So anyway, the Gateway Pundit got a hold of this. It's pretty entertaining stuff. This was sent out by the East Side Community School, and the goal is to become a white abolitionist. Maybe it's just me. I don't think there are any slaves in America, right? I think the plantation houses are gone. I may be going out on a limb here, but I don't believe that slavery is allowed in America. I'll get back to you on that. So anyway, they're going through this list here. It was sent to every mom and dad in the school, written by Barner Hess. The 8 white identities. I didn't realize there were 8 white identities. There is a regime of whiteness, Mr. Barner writes, and there are action-oriented white identities. People who identify with whiteness are one of these. It's about time we build an ethnography of whiteness. What? Since white people have been the ones writing about and governing others. So they go through and they list all of these different kinds of white people. I had no idea there were so many. Grace, you look horrified.
I am horrified.
Well, you're white. I hope I didn't share that. That may have been a sharing violation.
I'm just kidding.
So, Grace, according to this, you could be a white supremacist, which I think we all are. That's like the de facto, that's like the factory, you know, you
I'm about to say
the
our factory
reset. Yeah, it goes, you're a white supremacist. I don't even own white bed sheets. You know, I never want to be accused. You know,
you never can be too.
I don't wear a white bathrobe. I don't want to be accused. You know, you got to make sure, you got to take steps to make sure, you know,
take the proper precautions.
Somebody said, you know, for Christmas or for Halloween as a kid, you ought to go like as the school dunce, you know, where that you had to wear the pointy cap.
No.
This is before your time. But I don't wear pointy caps. Nothing, none of that stuff.
Don't be a ghost either in a white bed sheet.
So you could be a white supremacist. You could be a white voyeur.
A what?
Yeah, that's someone who would not challenge a white supremacist, desires non-whiteness because it's interesting and pleasurable.
Ooh. That's kind of gross. Yeah, it sounds like a little
pervy.
Yeah.
Number 3, white privilege. Oh, well, yeah, we all got that. Yeah. That's you may critique supremacy, but a deep investment in questions of fairness, equality, under the normalization of whiteness and the white rule.
This is so complex.
Yeah, I'm going down through here. This is all very bizarre. White benefit. You are sympathetic to a set of issues, but only privately. White confessional.
How's that different than staying silent, like they said earlier?
It's a good. I don't know. You know what we need for the rest of this? Where's our Joe Biden music? I think this will make it much more enjoyable. Can we get our Joe Biden music?
I'm getting a headache.
All right, Kyle. Yeah, we've got to do what we can.
Oh, much better.
Are you a white supremacist? Let's go through the list and see.
Oh, no. It's like, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
Do you like Engelbert Humperdinck music?
Oh, no.
What about Miley Cyrus? Oh, you could be a racist with bad musical taste. All right, so you could be a white benefit. Do you get, like, cash for that? Is that, like, a monthly? I don't know.
What is that?
White confessional. I think that may be for Catholics or...
I was thinking, is this for Catholics?
High church Protestants. Oh, you see how we hit the beat there in the music right at the right time. That's very classy. I feel like we should be on an elevator, Grace.
Probably.
Are you white critical? That means you take on board critiques of whiteness. And why do I keep talking in a lower voice?
Because it goes with
the smoky
music.
Voice. This is the Todd Stern Show. Where freedom's, freedom's blowtorch. It goes down smooth.
Oh, no.
Or you could be a white traitor. Oh, this is what they want. They want you to be a traitor to your race. Oh, I get it. Pardon me. Oh, I get it. Yes, you too can be a white traitor. All you have to do is actively refuse complicity. Name what's going on. Oh, you got to name names. You intend to subvert white authority and tell the truth at whatever cost. Dismantle institutions.
Dismantle institutions.
I think that's where Shakespeare comes in.
Yeah, I think so. No more Romeo and Juliet. Yeah,
no. That's Romeo and the other dude.
Romeo and Mark.
But we don't judge. And then you can be a white abolitionist, which is changing institutions, dismantling whiteness, and not allowing whiteness to reassert itself.
So do I want to be a traitor or an abolitionist?
Well, I think you're not supposed to procreate. I think they don't want you white folk having babies.
Dang.
So I don't know nothing about birthing babies. So, whoops. I shouldn't have said that. I think I'm not woke.
Dog for now.
So look, here's the thing. I don't know you good people that send your children to the East Side Community School, but can I just say something as best as I can as the host of this radio program? And we don't mean to besmirch. We don't mean to speak ill of the principal or the teachers at this school as. They reach out and identify all the Caucasian parents and send them this material, encouraging them to basically swear allegiance to something other than their race. So here's my message to all of you moms and dads at the East Side Community School in New York City. You need to get the hell out of there. Jeez-a-loo, America. Jeez-a-loo! All right, folks, wow, weird day, a lot going on. Hey, we're going to be covering Joe Biden's big town hall. Also, Kamala Harris, she apparently is now the liaison between America and our allies, so we're going to get into that as well. And who knows what else is going to come along in the culture wars, but we're going to talk about it. Been a lot of fun. Get out there. Have a great day. Be warm. I got to go shovel snow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Program.